Ephesians this evening. So Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll, I know Wednesday nights are usually in the book of Job. We just started that, but tonight we're going to be in Ephesians, and next Wednesday we'll get back to the book of Job. So Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be in verses 15, 16, and 17. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this evening just for the songs that we sang, and thank you for, again, the salvation we have, Father. It's a gift that just gives so much into the life of a person. We do thank you for what you continue to do in each of our lives, and just thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, just even the blessing of being able to feel your presence in our life, to hear your voice as you speak to us through your word. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your safety you gave as we traveled in this evening. I know some people out of town, some are not feeling well this evening, so I pray that you be with all your people, encouraging their hearts, continuing to guide them, direct them, and help all of us to faithfully follow. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about making right choices, because we're coming to the end of a year. We're beginning a new year, and we always, when you and I enter in a new year, we always want to have the focus on Christ and have the determination that in this new year, I'm going to be faithful to follow the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to make choices that help me to get closer to the Lord, to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and to allow my light to shine in the world I'm living in, among my family and friends and co-workers, my acquaintances, and just to be used. God wants to use you and me in so many different ways. And I'm afraid, at least for me, I've missed out on a lot of opportunities because I either resisted what he wanted to do, or I had my own agenda that got ahead of God's will for my life. And we just, this time of year, the end of a year, beginning of a year, just helps us to get a focus back on the Lord. And I think tonight with these verses, it will help us, remind us of just lifespan being short, just life in general being short, and just we know that God has something that he wants to do in our life, and he wants to use us to be a blessing to other people, to see other people come to know the Lord. But it all does come down to each of us making right choices. Every day we make choices. Every day we get up, as we go throughout the day, we're always making choices, even if we're in a normal routine that we are familiar with. It's just we're always having to make choices, and we make choices in the spiritual life that we live. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes people may say, well, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. And there are certain times someone who's seeking God's will, whether they're going into the ministry or going on the mission field, you know, they're seeking for God's will in those situations, or marrying the right person, or, you know, going to the right college. There's different choices to make, and, well, I'm not quite sure, and you seek God. But there are things in our life that there's no praying about it. God says it specifically and clearly in his word what he wants us to do, and his will that is very clear to each and every Christian is to get closer to him, to walk more faithfully with him, and not to allow the things of this world to cause you to faint in your faith. Again, the Bible says, so then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And he wants us to make right choices. Somebody once said, every choice we make is a reflection of our values. We make choices based on what we value most. And we do see that in the world, people making choices based on what's important to them. And what's important to one person may not be that important to you or me, but we always make choices based on what's most valuable to us. If I make choices based on my family, you know, if I'm, you know, back in, you know, I've been working the same job with FedEx for about 7, going on 8 years, same job. So I haven't had to make that decision as far as jobs go, but there was a time where I had to make those decisions, you know, going from one job to the next, and I always kept in my mind, is this the right job that's going to provide the best for my family through an income? Or is it just a job that I think I'll like and it's not going to provide that much income? So again, all the choices we make, they really are based on what we value the most. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 24, man's going are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Even though we make choices, we're consciously thinking, consciously making decisions and choices, yet we still have to understand and realize God is doing a work in our life, and there are times where God directs us, even though we think we're making the decision. And I'll give you this example. Back right after Sandra and I got married, we hadn't been married, I think, probably 6 months. It was the summer of 1993, and an opportunity revealed itself that I could move to Wisconsin with my brother-in-law. And the only thing I thought of, the only thing that was a factor in me determining us moving, my wife was on board, it was just the two of us, we were young, just newly married, was we wanted out of Mississippi. I saw no advancement in the job that I was at, though I moved with that company, yet where I was at, I didn't see myself going anywhere there, so we said, yep, let's move with him. We threw all our stuff, what little we had, on his moving truck, and we moved to Wisconsin, and we were like, you know, we're young, and we're just adventurous. We couldn't even tell you where Wisconsin was on a map. We just didn't know where it was at, but we knew, hey, it's out of Mississippi, so we're going. And, you know, it wasn't long. We were not there very long. I forget, just a few short months. Her brother-in-law decides they're moving back to Mississippi, and it's just the two of us there. No family. We knew nobody. But what's very interesting is though we made that decision, I made the decision based on what I wanted, the first apartments we lived in was just right around the corner, maybe a mile, mile and a half around the corner, was the church that we would end up going to for 13 years, 5 years later. And every day that my wife drove past this church, she just felt the Holy Spirit, because she had a walk with God, I didn't, but she felt the Holy Spirit just pulling her to that church, and she'd ask me, can we visit that? I'm like, no. But it was about 5 years, maybe 6 years later that we ended up at that church, but we weren't living there any longer. We were living out, you know, 25, 30 minutes away from the church, but we ended up right back to that church, and it was the pastor of that church that helped me to get my priorities straight, helped me to get my spiritual priorities straight. So God used it. So I can see in that example of my life, me making a conscious decision had nothing to do with God as far as I was concerned, yet God directed it, directed us being close to that church, directed us later on being involved in that church, and the Lord just doing things in my life to where here I am tonight standing as a pastor of a church. So just keep that in mind. As a child of God, you go through life, God does use things in your life that maybe you're not consciously thinking about him as you're making the decision, but he knows what's best for his child, and you being a child of God, he does want to work things together for good. He does want to do things in your life, and sometimes even difficulties he allows to get us to where he wants us to be. Because as we come through the Christmas season, you think about Joseph and Mary. They are living down in Nazareth, about 90 miles away from Bethlehem. Well, the Lord has to get them to Bethlehem in order for prophecy to be fulfilled, saying that's where the Messiah would be born. So what does he do? Well, he allows there to be a taxing. Nobody likes paying taxes, but he allows this taxing to take place to where Joseph and Mary, they have to go to Bethlehem. And it's when they get there that obviously Christ is born in the place it was prophesied. I'm sure it was not an easy journey for them. You even think about Paul. Paul is the one who writes the letter of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. You think about the life of Paul, where he is a prisoner. He's a Roman prisoner. He is on a ship headed to Rome. But God allows a storm to come and to have control of the Mediterranean Sea, to have control of the storm, to have control of the ship that Paul is on. All the men have lost hope. They think they're going to die. But God has already told Paul that he must be a witness in Rome. But he tells Paul that there's an island that you have to go to first. And when you look at a map of where Rome is and the island of Melita, they're nowhere near each other. So the course that Paul needed to take on this ship would have took him northwest, and yet the storm took them southwest. But exactly to the island that God needed Paul to go to first. So there's times where God allows storms in our life to get us where God wants us to go. So we always remember that. We still, though, want to make right choices. We still want to be conscious about the choices that we make because time is short. Notice verse 15 and part of verse 16. So then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We know there's 24 hours in a day, but time is still short. Time is short in respect to the things that God wants us to do. We may think, you know, I'm going to do this next week, but next week may never come. Something else may happen. Something else may take precedence over what we planned on doing. But as it says, redeeming the time, because redeem means to make the most of it. To make the most of it. So we want to make right choices because time is short and we don't really have time to redo it. I never loved retaking tests in school. Pass it the first time, get on with it. You think about life tests in life. You fail a test that God is wanting you to pass, and you know you flunked it because you didn't fully trust him. You weren't faithful to him. You didn't wholeheartedly do what he asked you to do. And later it comes back around, all right? But because time is short, God wants us to make right choices, redeeming the time. The Bible says in John 9, verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Jesus just speaks of there's a time when you can no longer do what you need to do for the Lord. God's given us a life to live for him, but only one life on this side of heaven to make right choices, to live for him, and to have that conscious effort every day to glorify him, to lift him up in our life, and to follow his will. Now, it goes on to say here in verse 15, because the days are evil. All right? We live in evil days. And when you think about evil days, sometimes you may think about, you know, all the robberies, all the murders, all the just heinous things that go on in the world. But you realize that there are, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where at the end of a day, you're like, man, I was robbed of my day. I was too busy and didn't get to accomplish the things I wanted to. Or unexpected things happened that kind of disrupted your schedule, disrupted what you wanted to do. The days are evil. So every opportunity we have, we want to redeem the time, making the choices that will help us to fulfill God's will. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I believe it's in Proverbs, it talks about a slothful man who says there's a lion without, and he will not go out and sow in the field because he's lazy, he's slothful, he has an excuse for everything. There's a lion without, I'll get eaten if I go out there, even though there's not. I mean, yes, there are evil men in this world, and there are bad things that happen, but we should not allow ourselves to be in some way trapped to where we don't serve the Lord, to where we don't do the things that God wants us to do. We don't have that conscious effort. Think about something that you wanted to do this past year, maybe talk to somebody about the Lord, but you never thought you had the right opportunity. Because sometimes people will only do what they need to do if everything is perfect. The weather's perfect, their hair's perfect, their clothing is perfect, you know, everybody's in a good mood, and if everything's perfect, then I'll do this, I'll do that. But we're not guaranteed everything will be perfect, but we are guaranteed that God will always be with us and help us. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Think about the reward that we have abiding with Christ. Making those right choices, making those right decisions, consciously thinking about the Lord. How will this affect my relationship with the Lord? How will this affect my testimony? How will this help somebody else have a desire for what they see in me, and what they should see in us is Christ? They should see the light of Christ shining through us, whether it's through our good attitude, whether it's through our encouragement to them, whether they never see us complaining or murmuring, they just always see us really joyous in the Lord. Sure, we have our bad days where, you know, we're grumpy and all of that, but I think even with that, it causes us to, well, I'm supposed to be a reflection of Christ, so I want to make sure that I do portray Christ rightly as I am around other people. I want you to think of, as it says in verse 15 and 16, making these right choices. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." How can we do this? How can we have this pathway of making right decisions? You probably already know that the first thing is Scripture. Always looking to Scripture. Because we have to find our function in the will of God. Outside His will, we'll always be weak, frustrated, and ineffective. Anything we try to do without God's strength, without God's guidance, without His wisdom, we'll find ourselves being more frustrated, being weak in the faith, being ineffective in our witness and in our service to other people. So it has to always start with Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105 reminds us, "Thy words a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So as we end this year and enter a new year, keep God's word as the focus of your heart. Keep it as the lamp of your feet and the light unto your path. Let it guide you into this new year as it has guided you through this last year. The Bible says in verse 9 of Psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Did I get off track a little bit this past year? Well, the word of God can get us back on track. And it is what the devil fights against. He knows that the word of God will help us, will benefit us, and a child of God that's gone wayward purposely, or one that's just kind of backslidden because they kind of, you know, let their guard down, they kind of stopped reading the Bible as much, they allowed, you know, other things to take precedence, not that they purposely, you know, stopped reading, it's just if we don't, unfortunately, schedule our Bible reading time, it'll get away from us to where we don't read the Bible and don't spend prayer time, and then, you know, we kind of find the effects of it later, where we are affected, because it's a spiritual book and we have a spirit that is affected by God's word, and we want the word of God to just continue to help us to have a way that's cleansed, helping us to stay on the right track with the right frame of mind and the right heart. Because the Bible says in verse 11 of Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's purposely hiding God's word, reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it. All right? Because it is true. If you remember this saying, probably the older generation probably have heard this saying, what goes in must come out. I mean, whatever goes in, the ear gate, the eye gate, it's going to come out because it's going to affect our heart. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right? So whatever is in our heart, it's going to come out. I mean, I don't keep up with it, but I know very soon there's the Super Bowl that's coming up. I forget when, end of January, February, because I used to watch it, growing up. And the fans for both teams, whoever's in the Super Bowl, you have some really weird fans that just go all out. And I mean, they paint themselves up and they act crazy for their team, right? God's not asking us to paint our hair and act crazy, for his team, the Lord's team, but we should have a stronger desire and a stronger zeal for the Lord than people do for worldly things. We should have a strong desire for our relationship with the Lord, a strong desire for God's word. So as we look to the scriptures, as we enter this new year individually in our own devotions, our own walk with the Lord, and even as collectively as a church, we need to ask God, help my heart to burn more for your word. Help me to have a stronger thirst and desire for your word, because I know it's going to help my attitude. It's going to help me mentally, physically, spiritually. It's going to help me to truly be in tune with the Lord, and that's what I need. I need to be unified with the Lord. Somebody once said that many people do not make principle-based decisions. They rationalize and thus become victims of their choices. And that's pretty good. Many people do not make principle-based decisions. They rationalize and thus become victims of their choices. And one of the examples is Eve. She didn't really think about me eating the forbidden fruit, how is this going to affect my relationship with the Lord? She thought, as the Bible lists, she looked at it, oh, it's good for food, it's going to make me wise. She didn't really think about the relationship with God and what God said. She thought about how it would benefit her. And then you see Adam, well, he didn't even think, he just ate it. Because sometimes men they don't think, they just do what they just do what someone says or what they think is right. And both of them were wrong, and it disrupted their relationship with the Lord. Now, obviously, God has promised us salvation and his spirit. He's not going to remove his spirit from you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't lose your salvation. But I don't know if you've ever experienced what you thought, man, God's not talking to me anymore. Because if you've had a relationship with the Lord where you could sense God's presence in your life, you read God's word, you feel God speaking to you, and then you've allowed something in your life that has disrupted it, whether you didn't obey, whether you didn't have faith, whatever, and you've kind of felt the disruption where you went to read your Bible expecting to hear God's voice and feel God's presence like you always did, and it wasn't there. That gets your attention, because it's a relationship. Don't forget, it's not religion. I feel sad for those who have religion but not a relationship, because they're putting all their effort into pleasing God and not feeling any better about it. It's a wonderful thing that when you do mess up, there is a feeling of, oh man, I messed up against the Lord, and and the Lord's prompting you, prompting me to, you know, come and make it right, confess your sin unto me, and I'll cleanse you, and we can continue walking together, right? That's a wonderful thing, that when you do seek God, because you know that you messed up in some way, and you feel the peace of God, you feel the presence of God, he hasn't left you, you feel like, oh, thank you, Lord, that this is a relationship, and this isn't, you know, a one-sided relationship. The Lord's side, he's always right. He's always perfect. We're the ones having to work on the relationship, work on our part, getting closer to him, getting things out of our life, working on having the right mindset. And again, it's the word of God. So look to the scriptures as we make right choices, as we try to make the right choices. Then also, be ready to surrender. Be ready to surrender. That's one thing a lot of people struggle with, is surrendering their will to God's will. Surrendering their will to God's will. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 reminds us, God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we know it's our reasonable service because Jesus, he wholeheartedly laid down his life for the sins of the world. He kept nothing back. He gave it all when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and for me and for every single person. He saved us. It's like a fireman going into a burning house and bringing out the family and saving the children, saving the father, saving, you know, the mother, and even saving the dog. Everyone's safe. The house burns down, but they are alive, and they are so thankful that the firemen came. My dad used to be a fireman when I was a little boy, and they would have their practices every, I call them practice, but they would, you know, to keep up with it, to keep their minds sharp and their abilities to do what they were trained to do, they would, you know, the city that we lived in, the small town that we lived in, they would have abandoned houses, and they'd set them on fire, and they would, you know, practice running in and stuff. And there were times, obviously, where they went into real burning houses and had to bring out real people. And people are always thankful for their life being saved. And I just remember over the years seeing, news times where, you know, they'd be interviewing people that were saved, and they'd interview the, you know, the firemen that, you know, saved them, and they were so thankful, and they would present them with, you know, just gifts and thank yous, and they felt indebted to him. But you think about the greatest fire that we've been saved from, the eternal fires of being separated from a loving God. We've been saved from that because of Jesus Christ willing. I mean, he didn't die for a few. He didn't lay down his life for those that loved him. I mean, he laid down his life for all people, even those that were cursing his name and nailed him to the cross. He would look down from the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, just think about the love, and it is our reasonable service to follow God's will, to say, Lord, here am I. Lord, would you change me more into the image of Christ? Because I know that was your predestinated will for me, is to be more in the image of Christ, so people would see Christ in me, and people would ask that question. When they ask the question of the reason of the hope that lies within us, then we can tell them, well, it's nothing I've done, but it's everything the Lord has done for me. And verse 2 of Romans 12 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's very important, that we continue to remember the renewing of our mind. Social media, TV, movies, music, all these things in our world corrupt people's mind and makes them become desensitized really to reality and desensitized to their need of a Savior and their sin nature and the fact that one day they're going to spend eternity somewhere, because you have all these different types of movies that come out of Hollywood that you know, people look at it, well, okay, that's just Hollywood, so there's really not a heaven, there's really not a hell, there's really not, Jesus was just a good man, he wasn't really God. But as you and I continue to put the word of God in our minds, as we read it and think about it, he goes down in our heart, it does conform us into the image of Christ, it helps us to have the mind of Christ, it helps us to make the right choices, and it helps us to really see where, you know what, if I continue to surrender to God, God will continue to do a good work in me, and God will always do me right, and I will continue to see the blessings of surrendering to the Lord in my life. Because he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might know some people that are living the Christian life based on what they think, and they're miserable. I've met people that are miserable because they're doing it their way instead of God's way. But when we read Scripture, we see everyone that always did it God's way happy. And you probably have, you know, you being a testimony of yourself, following the Lord, doing it God's way. I've never been miserable doing it God's way. I've never been blessed by the Lord and, man, blessed again? This is ridiculous. Why does God keep blessing me when I do right? No, we're thankful for that, right? And we probably know, I know that when I haven't always done it God's way and what God wanted, I was not happy. I was miserable. So again, ready to surrender because that is the right choice. Ready to surrender and ready for whatever God brings into our life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Every year is full of good and bad. And we'd rather, you know, cast out the bad and let's just think about all the good and focus on the good. But you know what the bad times remind us of as we reflect over 2023? That God was faithful. He was faithful to help us through it. He was faithful to give us the strength when we had no strength. He was faithful to give us the wisdom when we didn't know what to do. He was faithful just to encourage us with his presence in our life, with the truth of his word, comfort us, to help us to keep walking with him. When we fell down, when we felt like giving up, we felt like quitting, the Holy Spirit helped us to get our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith and to keep moving forward in the direction that God wanted us to. So that helps us as we look to a new year. God was faithful again this year. He's going to be faithful again this next year, and I can face anything with the Lord on my side. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You ever wondered what would have happened if Moses had not turned aside to see the burning bush? Because the bush that was on fire, that wasn't anything unusual. Because he is on the backside of the desert. He's in a place where that's kind of a common occurrence. Lightning, striking, dry brush, catching it on fire. But when you read back in Genesis, this account, Moses realized the bush wasn't burning up. It was on fire, but it wasn't burning up, and that's what caught his attention, and he got closer to it to see, you know, this phenomenon, what's going on, and as he got closer, the Lord spoke to him. But Moses had to make a decision. Sure, he saw the burning bush. He heard God's voice tell him, take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy. He did all that, but when God told him what God wanted him to do, I want you to go back down into Egypt and lead my people out, Moses started having excuses. Oh, I can't do that. And when God kept pressing and pressing, Moses finally said, I can't speak. I stutter. And God says, who made your mouth? Sometimes we'll come up with our excuses of why we can't do something for God or why God can't use us. But God's the one that made us. God's the one that gives us the ability to accomplish his will in our life. And did Moses accomplish God's will? Yes, he did. He did, just like Joshua did. Again, David, sure, there were some mistakes along the way because Moses got mad at the people and he hit the rock a second time when he wasn't supposed to, and God said, okay, you can't go in the promised land. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land because he got mad. But God still used him. So be willing to surrender to the Lord even when you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know what God's going to do, but you are fully trusting that God's will be done. God's will be done. Last thing I want you to think about is verse 17. The results of making right choices. The results of making right choices, the Bible says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you already know by now that God does want us to call unto him, right? Call unto me, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God looks for times to bless you and me, to bless his people. So the product or the result of a right choice is God's protection. It's God's protection. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. If all you do is live to please yourself and to please your flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God promises his protection. All right? God promises his protection. So as you make right choices based on God's will, God promises to protect you. Because you remember, I just can never forget about Paul and his thorn in the flesh. He prayed for that to be removed. He prayed for it, for the circumstance to be changed. But God didn't remove the thorn. He didn't change the circumstance. But what Jesus said to Paul was, in your weakness, I'm strong. And Paul responded to that, I'd rather have the power of God upon my life. He said, if this is God's will, I know God will give me the ability to work through it. He'll give me the strength physically, mentally, spiritually, to overcome it as I focus on him. And that's the key, always focusing on the Lord and knowing that God doesn't allow things in your life to destroy you. Remember the Israelites, they're 3 days in the wilderness and saying, God's brought us out here to kill us. Well, if God was going to kill the Israelites, he would have done it back in Egypt. He would have just left them there. But he brought them out into a place so he could show himself great and mighty in their lives. And God does. God's protection sometimes may seem strange to us. Now, obviously, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and he gives us an abundance of life. But can you imagine being an Israelite in the wilderness, seeing Moses erect this brazen serpent on a pole and tell you, because God had sent fiery serpents, poisonous serpents among the people because they were complaining and murmuring and people were dying. And Moses sought the Lord for an answer. Take the fiery serpents away. And God said, no, but here's a brazen serpent. And tell the people, when you get bit by the serpent, by the poisonous snakes, look to the brazen serpent on the pole and you'll live. I wonder how many people didn't, because that sounded so foolish. I'm snake bitten, my leg is swelling up, I'm dying, and you want me to look at some fake thing on a pole? But apparently a lot of people did, because we still have a nation of Israel. And you read through scripture. And after that account, You still have people, and I'm sure there were some that just refused to look. Just like today, there are some Christians that just refuse to lean upon Christ. They refuse to trust Christ. They do everything in their own strength, and they're making their life miserable when God is hands out saying, come to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, right? The Lord wants us to have rest unto our soul, but we have to lean upon him. He gives protection, and we find purpose. We find purpose with making the right choice to lean upon the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Many take that verse out of context and they misuse and say, see, God will give you any desire of your heart. No, he won't. The desire that he will give, or the desires that he will bless and he'll give, are the desires for him. Because if a Christian is desiring some wicked things, God's not going to give that to them. But if there's a child of God, there's a Christian, there's a born-again believer, Lord, I just want to get closer to you. I want to hear your voice clearer. Lord, I need you to work in this relative's heart. Show them their need. That's a desire. Those are desires that God wants to and will bless. Because he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. If we delight ourselves more in God this next year, we're going to see more of God's work in our life. We're going to see what God can and wants to do in our life. Because remember, back in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God doesn't say it might. God says, no, it will. If we delight ourselves in God's word, we're going to become like this fruitful, strong tree that's rooted by the rivers of God's word. And you're going to be a strong Christian. You're going to be a fruitful Christian, and God's going to bless that. Because as you and I get closer to the Lord, the heart's desire is for others to have what we have. And have such a wonderful life with the Lord, and God is so good. You want people to have what you have, right? So the desire of our heart is going to be God's desires. David being known as a man after God's own heart because his desire was to please God. God chose him to be the king of Israel because he had a shepherd's heart. He cared about the sheep who couldn't take care of themselves, couldn't defend themselves, couldn't even find green pastures and calm waters by themselves. They needed a shepherd to guide them and protect them, and that was the heart of God. David, we know, being a picture of Christ, Jesus being the great shepherd, right? It is. It's about our heart being like God's heart. Someone once said, when we are what God wants us to be, he is in control and our will is merged with his will, and he therefore gives us the desires he has planted in our hearts. Because he's the one that begun the good work in us, and the Bible says he's the one that will continue the good work, changing us more into the image of Christ. So as we develop to love people more and to be more Christ-like, it's God doing the work in us through his word and by his spirit. So we find the purpose is to become more like Christ, and we also find peace in our life. We find peace in our life. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Because you realize, the more we love God's word, someone can be offensive to us, but it doesn't offend us. We're not bothered by it. We're not staying awake at night, you know, fretting over what they said, because it's like water off a duck's back. Sure, we heard it, but because we have such a love for God's word and we're allowing God's word to change us, we're walking with Christ, we become like Christ. Because you look at the life of Christ. Do you ever see a sense of Jesus fretting over the people who rejected him? No, he wept over them. He wept over Jerusalem. But he didn't allow the Pharisees to affect him negatively, right? He didn't allow those that rejected him and all that to cause him to lose sleep at night, right? Because he had, I know he's the Prince of Peace, but he gives us the example of having that peace that passeth all understanding, the peace in following God's word. And think about that. Jesus had such great peace because he was following his Father's word, his Father's will. He was here to accomplish the Father's will, and he accomplished it. What is God's will for you? To become more like Christ? I know there's some other things. I mean, for me, to become more like Christ, to be a pastor, to be a father, to be a grandfather, you know, to be a godly example to those in my family, those outside my family. But the ultimate goal is God wants me to become more like Christ, because that is what's going to help people. That's what's going to draw people to the Lord, is when they see Christ in me. So Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But also peace in accepting God's gift of salvation. We know that great peace comes with accepting God's gift of salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest, how you would say that. Not greatest accomplishments, but one of the greatest senses in your life, to know that you have peace with God, the Creator. Knowing that you're on his good side. I always liked being on the good side of my dad growing up, because I knew if I was on the bad side, what would happen? If I was on the bad side of my mom, I'd get grounded, go to my room. But if I was on the bad side of my dad, well, I got disciplined. So I liked being on the good side. And you think about God, what would be the, there's no bad side to God. God is good and righteous. But what's the opposite of what God is? God is light. God is joy. God is peace. God is grace, right? Think about who God is and the opposite of that. Why would you want to spend eternity not with God? So that peace that passes all understanding is that gift from the Lord through Jesus Christ. And it is what helps us to make the right decisions every day. We just have to remain conscious about making decisions. How is this going to affect my relationship with the Lord? You know, I've counseled many people throughout the years when it came to them choosing a job. And people who have moved. Okay, well, it is, and they, well, I prayed about it, and I think this is God. Okay, well, what's it going to do for your, you know, your time coming to church? Well, I'll have to miss church. Where I'm going, yeah, there is no church. Well, I don't think God would send, unless he wants you to start a church, he's not going to send you somewhere where there is no church. Because people need that. People need that fellowship. Right? And I don't think God would have someone take a job that takes them out of being able to go to church. Again, unless they're going to start a church or start up some ministry. So when it comes to making right decisions based on the Lord, sometimes we may have to say no to something because it would disrupt our relationship with the Lord. It would disrupt what God really wants to do in our life. And really, there's no guessing game. Sometimes we make it harder on ourselves. Well, how am I going to know what I'm supposed to do? It's so easy to know what God wants you to do, because if it's going to leave God out, then that's not what he wants you to do. If it's going to keep God in the equation and it's going to help you get closer to the Lord and even be a testimony to somebody, then it's the Lord's will. So it's very easy. So as we enter in this new year, let's keep our focus on the Lord. Let's keep seeking him with all of our heart. Let's keep devouring God's word. meditating on it, letting it change us more into the image of Christ.